Now let's look at some history, and let's see that there are other things involved besides the banking system. And so the first title of the sermon was The History of Brothers. So I might have to carry that over in another sermon because I can't possibly finish it. However, all of these things come together, see? It's not just one thing over here. It's one thing over here, another thing over here, half a dozen things over here, the whole picture, see? Now we're dealing with the whole world. But it started out with Adam and Eve. And look what it's come to. Okay. So let's go back to Genesis 4. And let's see what the world came to because of problems between brothers. Genesis 4. And eventually, it all gets down to this. Who is your God? The true God of the Bible or Satan the devil? Who are you going to follow? Right? We're not going through how Adam and Eve sinned. We already know that. If you don't know that, then you'll have to catch up on it. We're going to talk about two brothers in this case. In other cases, there will be more brothers involved. But nevertheless, here's what happened. Verse 1. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Now, as far as she was concerned, that was the promise that was given to her over here in chapter 3. But you see, little did she know there's going to be 6,000 years plus, 4,000 until the Messiah comes, another 2,000 plus before he finishes his mission with his second coming. So she said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she bore again his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Nothing wrong with that. And it came to pass, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat of it. And the Lord had regard unto Abel and to his offering. Now the question is why? Does God command that things that are produced in the ground be brought to him? Yes, he does, a tithe, doesn't he? First fruits, doesn't he? Not just animals. Verse 5, but he did not have regard to Cain and his offering. Why? It comes to the very basic sin in all human beings, which is, they want to improve on God's way by doing it their way. That's the basic sin of all human beings. They don't look at it that way. They don't say, oh, I'm going to tell God what to do. No, they're going to say, oh, well, look at this. I can do this, God. That's a wonderful thing. See, what do we have in Matthew 7 concerning that? And those who are the false prophets proclaiming Christianity in Jesus' name. They said, we've done many wonderful works. We cast out demons. We preached the gospel. But how did they do it? Their way. Cain didn't want to do it God's way. See? Now, if it would have read, and Cain brought to the Lord the first fruits of his tillage, it would have been accepted. But he wanted to bring what he wanted to bring. See? Great principle. You can't improve upon God. His law is perfect. His way is perfect. And what he tells us to do, we are to do it the way that God says to do it. So what happened? The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, even carnal people are capable of doing well. Are they not? Don't we have many good things that people do that don't even know God? Yes. I mean, look at Gaddafi that we just read in the first half. Didn't he do a lot of good things for his people? Yes, indeed. Shall you not be accepted? But if you do not well or correctly, sin lies at the door. What is sin? Sin's a transgression of the law. So he violated the laws and instructions of God when he brought his offering. Okay? Its desire is for you, that is sin, but you must rule over it. Can people have enough control over their thoughts and over their actions that they can do well? Yes. They're called upstanding, law-abiding citizens in the community, correct? Yes. All right. This has nothing to do with salvation here. Now, Abel is going to receive salvation because his relationship was with God directly. We find that we don't know about that until we read Hebrews, the 11th chapter, see? Okay, so some things we don't know without the New Testament. And some things we don't know without the Old Testament. So we can view things today and put it together and have an understanding of it. So what happened? Rather than repent, Cain could have said, Lord, I'm sorry, I repent. Then what happened next would never have occurred. And Cain talked with his brother Abel. It came to pass when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Now, Cain probably knew that Abel was going to have the righteous line. Abel was going to receive blessings that Cain was not going to receive. Now, we will see that again and again with brothers. And it leads to problems. Because when the human race grows and expands, those embedded problems persist. So we have the righteous line given in chapter 5. Now let's ask the question. How old was Abel when he was killed? We can make an approximate guess. We don't know. Because we don't know how long it was after Adam and Eve were created that Cain and Abel were born. So we don't have that number of years. But we can come pretty close to knowing the approximate time when the replacement of the death of Abel in the person of Seth was born. So come to chapter 5 and verse 3. Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his own image, and he called his name Seth. So 130. So how old was Abel? We don't know. 125? 30 years? We don't know, but somewhere right in there. So there was a long period of time that Cain and Abel were living together and interfacing with each other, living their lives. God gave them certain instruction. God told them certain things. God made certain promises. Not recorded here. We're just reading into the record. There's the righteous line. Well, what happened because of this competition between the brothers? Well, come all the way over here to the next chapter, chapter 6. What happened because the brothers couldn't get along? And, of course, their descendants wouldn't get along. Cain was removed from the line of Seth. He was sent off into the land of wandering. And his descendants were the ones that made war implements. Well, living as long as they did, having the knowledge that they did, intermarrying that they had, how did it turn out? Okay, verse 5, Genesis 6. So let's project forward to our day. How's it turning out? Exactly as Jesus said it would. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Okay? The world sooner or later comes to a crisis because of those who follow Satan the devil and those who follow God. And sooner or later the world gets to a point that evil takes over and rules everything. Call lawlessness. What is the prophecy that's going to happen in the end time? The mystery of lawlessness, right? What did Jesus say? Because lawlessness shall multiply, the love of many shall grow cold. See, so that's what happened because of the tale of two brothers. All right, let's come forward here. let's come to Genesis 15. Here's Abraham. Abraham at that time had no children, promised a child, a physical child, Genesis 15, even in his old age. Now we're going to learn another lesson here too. All right. Abraham, verse 3 now, he said, "Behold, you've given no seed to me, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'This man, your servant Eleazar, shall not be your heir, but he who shall come forth out of your own loins shall be your heir.'" Now, remember this verse. Come out of your own loins. "And then he brought him outside, looked toward heaven. 'If you're able, count the stars,' he said, 'so shall your seed be.'" So he was promised two things here. Physical seed from his own loins. Spiritual seed that he didn't know anything about. So we come all the way, just put here spiritual seed, dash, Galatians 3:29. "If you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Who? 4,000 years separation. Then another 2,000 until there's a resurrection. And, as Jesus said, the children of the kingdom shall be resurrected and shine as the sun. So you see, there are a lot of things contained in the Old Testament which is like a seed, and it must grow. So here it is. All right. Chapter 16. Well, Sarah really didn't think too much was going to happen because she knew how old she was, see. All right. So here, 10 years later, when he was 85, she convinced Abraham, "Now it's going to come from your loins, right?" "Yes." "Well, since haven't been able to bear, and you know they may have been trying an awful lot." Okay. What did she do? She wanted to improve on God's promise, right? Let's help the fulfillment of this along. Here's Hagar. Okay. The handmaiden. So she convinced Abraham to produce seed through her. But that's not what God said. Okay? So Ishmael was born, and we still live with the problem, don't we? Yes, indeed. Now, Ishmael is not quite as barbaric as Esau was. We'll talk about Esau a little later, because we're talking about brothers. Come over here to chapter 16 and verse 10, talking about the son that Hagar would... Let's come back here to verse 8. "And he said to Hagar," Hagar's Sarai's maidservant, "where did you come from? And where will you go?" This is an angel of the Lord. Okay. "And she said, 'I flee from the presence of my mistress Sarai.' And the angel of the Lord said to her, 'Return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hands.'" And that was hard to do, right? I mean, think about the feelings that build up inside because of that. And think about the stories that she told Ishmael. I mean, we have to add all the human elements in there that are not necessarily told us in Scripture when we understand the feelings and competition and things that went on. "And the angel of the Lord said to her, 'I will multiply your seed exceedingly, and they shall be not be numbered for multitude.' And the angel of the Lord said to her, 'Behold, you're with child, you shall bear a son, you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction.'" However, verse 12, "he shall be a wild man." Is that true even to this day? We haven't added Ishmael in there. I mean, Esau in there yet. But we will in a bit. "And be against every man and every man's hand against him, and he shall live in the presence of all of his brothers." Isn't it interesting that only the children of Israel migrated out to other parts of the world, but all the Arabs and all of the Edomites and Esauites stayed in the Middle East? See, That's how true the things of the Bible are. What did God tell Abraham? He said, your seed is going to move to the north, to the west, to the east, and to the south. What did he tell David? When David wanted to build a temple, he says, I'm going to take and put the children of Israel in their place. Well, they were already under the jurisdiction of King David at that time. That was a prophecy. So the things that happened with the brothers go way down in time. I mean, look at us. We live in a land where we don't know very much about our ancestors. We don't know very much about our genealogy. See? Why is that? Because it's just like God said. God would sift Israel through many different nations, but not lose a single seed. Arabs know where they come from. The Turks know where they come from. All right. So here it is. So you know what happened. Eventually, she conceived, brought forth Isaac, and then finally, Ishmael had to be sent on the way. All right. Now, let's come to Genesis 25. Genesis 25. We know what happened. Isaac married Rebekah, and she became pregnant. Now the promise went Abraham, Isaac. Now the promise is going to come down to one that is called Jacob. But notice what happened. Let's pick it up here in verse 20, Genesis 25. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban the Syrian. And Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord heard him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the sons struggled together within her. They were enemies from conception. So when they say it's in the genes, it's in the genes. Okay? And she said, if everything is okay or if it's well, why am I this way? And she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two kinds of people shall be separated from your belly. The one shall be stronger than the other people, and the older shall serve the younger. Prophesied to happen. All right? True. Just a little sidebar here. Can God create a race of people different from the two parents if he decides to? Yes. Because these were twins. But let's read how they looked. And can you imagine what the midwife must have thought? All right. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, twins were in her womb. And the first came out red. You know, the midwife probably said, what is this? I know, Sasquatch. No. Like a hairy garment all over. No, I can't feature that. And he called his name Esau, which is also Edom. And his descendants became the Ottoman or Etoman Empire. And after that, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Esau was 60 years old when Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. Well, you know the rest of the story. You can read it. Esau was a hunter. Firstborn had the birthright. But who was prophesied to be the predominant one? The younger. And he would rule over the elder. Now, you know how that makes the elder son feel when the young one rules over him. So you've got all these emotions involved. See? Plus, Mama is involved. And after Jacob persuaded Esau to sell his birthright, he didn't have to do it because he was going to get it anyway. See? But this again set up tension. Look at what he did to me. The conniver, the deceiver. and Mama did it. See? See, those things come down. All right? So he bought the birthright. So you know what happened. Rebecca said, I'll fix up the stew. Now you dress up like Esau. So how could Jacob, who was a plain man, you know, not much hair in the arm, see? I mean, you see some people today, man, they have hair all over, but not on the top. You know? Okay. But I've never seen someone like a carpet. That's how I imagined that Esau was. Okay. So how was Jacob going to pretend and deceive his father? Because he knew. Okay. She took the goat skin, which she made the stew from, took the goats from those two little goats, put it on the back of his neck and on the forearm of his arms. Now, that tells you how hairy he was. Okay. So he went in with the dirty, smelly clothes of Esau. And Jacob said, are you Esau? He said, yes, my father, I'm Esau. Come here so I can test you out, touch you. So he felt him back of the neck. And said, well, you feel like Esau, but you sound like Jacob. Are you really Esau? Oh, yes, father, I am. Mm-hmm. See? So think how this set it up for hatred afterward. It set up a perpetual hatred to this day. So you know what happened. Jacob got the blessing. Okay? Let's come over here to chapter 27. Let's pick it up here in verse 26. And his father Isaac said to him, come near now, my son, and kiss me, my son. He came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Now notice this blessing to Jacob. Now this was an official act. You cannot repeal this. You can only give it once. May the Lord give you the dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you. Let nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brethren and over your mothers, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone that curses you, and blessed be everyone that blesses you. That is an all-encompassing blessing. Now, it's further amplified, as we'll see a little later on. Now, notice, this was really a quick scene here. And it came to pass as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone from presence of his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. And he made a dish to take it to his father, and he brought it to him, and he said here, verse 31, let my father arise and eat his son's venison, so that your soul may bless me. And his father Isaac said to him, who are you? Because he was partially blind. And he said, I'm your son, your firstborn, Esau. Then Isaac trembled greatly and said, who then was the one who has hunted deer and brought it to me? And I've eaten it all before you came and have blessed him. Yea, I have blessed him and can't give him the same blessing. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and I imagined it was Rebekah was over in the corner of the tent, you know, hearing all of this. And, ooh, look at, ooh, let's hope this works out, you know, and, ooh. See. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you had problems in your family? Anything like this? No. We look at the patriarchs and say, oh, what a wonderful thing that was. They had some pretty tough times and some pretty tough family problems, see, which carry down to this day. All right? So he cried and said, bless me, even me also, my father. And he said, your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing. And Esau said, is he not rightly called Jacob, which means supplanter? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he's taken away my blessing. And he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? Well, this didn't turn out to be much of a blessing. Greatest blessing to Esau and to Ishmael was the oil under the ground, mostly to Ishmael. So here's what he blessed him with. Isaac answered and said to Esau, verse 37, behold, I've made him your lord, and all your brethren I've given him for servants. And with grain and wine I've sustained him, and what shall I do now to you, my son? And Esau said to his father, have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me even me also, my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Couldn't get it back. See, Esau didn't have to sell the birthright, but he did. Jacob did not have to trick Isaac to get the blessing. It would have come anyway. In both cases, we have human intentions to help God do what he promised to do because we're using our initiative to do so. Now, I want you to see that that sin follows all the way down in the intermix of the human relations between the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and the children of Israel, and it's one of the biggest problems that happens with people today. So let's see what happened. Verse 39, and Isaac his father answered and said to him, behold, your dwelling shall be far from the fatness of the earth, and far from the dew of heaven above. Where do they live? Where do the Ishmaelites live? Is this true? Has it happened? Yes, indeed. Does the hatred still exist to this day? Yes, it does. And we will see the prophecy of why some of these things are being done today, right here in this chapter. And you shall live by your sword and shall serve your brother. Now we have a wild man, Ishmael, whose hand is against everyone, fighting, conniving, stealing, taking. Now we have a wild man here on the other hand, who's going to be filled with bitterness and hatred, who's ready to take the sword and kill. Is it any wonder that Allah is their God and Muhammad is their prophet? No, indeed. Didn't start here, but that's what they developed 600 or in the 600s BC, or AD rather. You shall live by your sword and shall serve your brother. But it shall come to pass that when you shall have dominion, the dominion, you shall break his yoke from off your neck. Is that what is taking place today? Bit by bit. If we view the Middle East from that point of view, we can see the problems that are taking place through heredity and the genes and the blessings and the prophecies of God. Coming from the other side of that, we see the struggle for control of oil and gold and a world banking system. So we see it all coming together. See? Now, how long is it going to take to get rid of the yoke? We don't know. How long is it going to take for these countries to be taken down and tamed down enough to enter into a world system? Remember, 21st century coming into a 16th century civilization. Violent transition. Plus the nature of the people. Plus the hatred that has been always with Esau. Let's read on. Verse 41. Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand, and then I will kill my brother Jacob. Oh. So Rebekah heard this and said, Jacob, get out of here. She sent him off to Laban clear over, you know, in Syria. Okay. Now, We will go ahead and end it here. We're just about at a good breaking point here. But see the problems that brothers can create. Now we'll see that even magnified when we come to the 12 sons of Israel and what happened with that. So when we look at the world news, remember, there are many things that you need to search out to find the real truth. What you are told that everybody accepts. One rule of thumb is this. If the media repeats it over like a whole pet store full of parrots, it's the movie, it's the movie, it's the movie. No, it's wrong. Okay? Search it out. I thank Jim for getting this information to me and bringing it today. But nevertheless, all these things that are in the Bible, see, they're going to come to pass. They're going to be done. Everything is going to take place that God has said will take place. All of them. Now we'll see next time concerning the 12 sons of Israel and then Joseph. And then we will see that God says, I hate Esau. And a lot of people have never understood why God, who's a God of love, says, I hate Esau, but Jacob I have loved. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.